Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
The pain remains 75 years after Montana's worst fire tragedy. I should probably save this story for the tail end of the show. Such a great report put together here by our friend Dennis Bragg with KGVO News out of Missoula, our sister radio station in Missoula. Such a great report about the tribute to the firefighters who were lost in the Mann Gulch fire 75 years ago. But I want to start the show with that story this morning, because you know what happens. We're going to start taking your phone calls. There's big breaking news out this morning, so I know a lot of you are going to want to weigh in. Plus, we've got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, here sidekicking with us on this Tuesday as well. So, you know, we'll start taking phone calls. Before you know, we'll run out of time, and we would have never gotten to this very important story. Not only a very important story, but also just well produced coverage for you here this morning. Yeah, the pain remains 75 years after Montana's worst fire tragedy. If you had been listening to your local radio station 75 years ago this morning, you would have been hearing the first reports of the terrible tragedy that took the lives of 13 firefighters in a terrible inferno at Mann Gulch. Even now, three quarters of a century later, it's a tale of pain, but also heroism and service.
Even with all the research and study over the years, there remain questions over the full details of the Mann Gulch fire near the Gates of the Mountains. Unanswered questions about how 13 men, 12 of them smoke jumpers, could have been caught in a massive 3,000-acre blowup on August 5th, 1949. But Monday's somber ceremony outside the Capitol focused instead on the tremendous loss and the service of the men who died after dropping into the fire zone from the plane now known as Miss Montana. Governor Greg Gianforte and other speakers noted it was the start of fire science that has saved countless lives since.
Each fatality is a tragedy that carries painful lessons with it. But these lessons have helped keep thousands of other firefighters alive for the last 75 years.
And noted author John McClain, whose father Norman penned one of the first accounts of the fire, assured the 80 relatives who had traveled to the memorial that the loss of their young men is still on the minds of Montanans and firefighters everywhere.
Mann Gulch has not faded into obscurity, but has risen from the ashes to become a cultural legacy for the wildland fire community, Montana, and the nation.
Sky is turning red, smoke is boiling. 200 yards to safety, death was 50 yards behind. I don't know why.
With music and the sobering presence of a Forest Service honor guard, the hot afternoon was a reminder of the terrible tragedy of Mann Gulch and the legacy of those young men who never returned. In Helena, Dennis Bragg, Montana State Network News.
Incredible reporting there. Thanks to Dennis Bragg for that coverage and to all who put on that ceremony and tribute. It's also a reminder of the great men and women that are out there right now manning the fire lines on our behalf. God bless and thanks to every single one of you. Back after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to get your phone calls and more. We got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, retired federal law enforcement officer. He's got over 100,000 followers on the platform now known as X. John, great to see you as always. Thanks for joining us here this morning. And man, first off, what about that report on the tribute to the Mann Gulch fire and the firefighters who lost their lives there? Just incredible job by Dennis.
And you probably know that if that was today, because of more air assets and more minute weather forecasting, it might not have happened if it was today. But yeah, it's a great sacrifice.
Well, yeah, you think about the technology we've got, the aerial firefighting capabilities we've got right now. Just incredible. You know, as I listened to that, I was thinking, Sunday, driving up above Fort Smith on the foothills above Fort Smith, and driving past, they had a helicopter there, and there were some firefighters on hand right there, manning the watch. And it was like, wow, what a symbol of fire watch, literally and figuratively right there. We had fire watch in Army basic training. You were the guy that had to pull your, what, hour or 2 hour long shift while everybody else got their 4 hours of sleep for the night or whatever. But then I was in Miles City Friday morning, had a great event at the Main Street Grind, great little cafe in downtown Miles City. And, this was one of our events that's paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. And so everybody who came in, we'd say, hey, here's a free gift card for you. And I saw one guy had a smoke jumper hat on. I said, hey, you a smoke jumper? And he said, yeah. And these guys, man, I thought like a bunch of Army Rangers just rolled up on the cafe or something, because these guys were strapping. I mean, these guys were ready to roll, you could tell. And so obviously a bunch of firefighters that were there probably held up at the airport ready to roll in Miles City.
A lot of them come from that military background. A lot of them from the spec op community for their ability to jump and all that into nasty areas and everything. But for anybody that's never been up close, I mean, not seeing the smoke from a ways off, but right up against a multi-thousand acre forest fire, it is like hell came to earth. It is amazing in its destruction and power.
And these guys walk right into it. Or jump right into it. Yeah, absolutely incredible. Well, speaking of flames, apparently the Kamala Harris, Tim Walz campaign posters are out. You have the exclusive new campaign flyer. You've already tweeted it out at PVT Joker US, if anybody hasn't seen it yet, by the way.
Yes, Harris Walz. Mostly peaceful. And in the background, the shot of Minneapolis burning in 2020.
I mean, Kamala Harris, she was on a sugar high. Her campaign's been on a sugar high. With Joe Biden, the presidential campaign for the Democrats was dead in the water. She didn't really get a big bump in the polls, despite all the Kamala Camelot coverage by the fake news media. But the Democrats appear to at least still be in the race, right? And then now you go and pull a move like this and just fumbles the football. This Tim Walz, wow, he's just as radical, crazy left-wing as she is, supports sanctuary cities. Talked about investing in a ladder company to help illegals get over the border wall. He just sat there and watched as Minneapolis burned to the ground. And it raises a really good question. Is Minneapolis better off now than it was 4 years ago?
Well, you see the strategy already. Like we talked about earlier, Kamala hasn't taken any questions from the media. There's no policy positions on her website. And what they're going to try to do is run out the clock here for the next 90 days. They're going to keep her away from the media. You might not even see a debate. I mean, maybe there might not even be a debate. And anything she ever says, and Walz as well, anything they ever say, the two of them out in public from here on out, is going to be scripted quick with no questions from the press. It's going to be the Joe Biden basement thing all over again.
I've already been hearing from callers in Bozeman, for example, listeners in Bozeman that are like, I used to live in Minneapolis. We left because of Tim Walz and how bad his policies were. The COVID lockdowns, shutting down schools, allowing our city to burn to the freaking ground. This guy is a train wreck. But it's a good Tim and Billings made the point, too, that, picking Tim Walz is the perfect analogy for Kamala Harris, because, he let Minneapolis burn to the ground, and their policies are going to burn this country to the ground, frankly. That's what Tim and Billings had to say. Steve in Ballantyne, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Morning, guys. Well, you haven't talked about it yet. That's why I thought I'd call in. Okay. I guess Minneapolis is the capital, right, of Minnesota. So by saying that, he sat there and watched them burn the city down. And then when it was all said and done and over with, remember that it was a gal that got a little mom and pop shop burned down or whatever it was? And the city of Minneapolis was going to charge her to tear down her building because it was an eyesore. They were literally going to charge her, and I think someone got a GoFundMe project so she didn't have to pay to demolish her building, but she couldn't afford to demolish it because she had no income, and furthermore, they destroyed it. Mm. And he sat back and allowed that to happen.
And meanwhile, what was Kamala Harris doing? She was raising money for, I think it was called the Minnesota Freedom Fund or something, raising money to bail the criminal rioters out of jail, many of whom had violent backgrounds already on their record. John, to me, all they're doing is putting a spotlight on Kamala's crazy record.
And these campaign ads write themselves between Kamala and Walz. I mean, oh my, you could go to town with this as an amateur. I mean, easy peasy.
All right. Well, we got to take a quick break here. Easy peasy. And a great chance for you to call in. 406-294-0970. And yeah, St. Paul is the capital of Minnesota, basically. Yeah, Minneapolis, St. Paul. But point taken. Yeah, good point.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Tim Walz, this Minnesota governor, if you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, you can see just the full takedown of this guy. Pro-sanctuary cities, you know, I laid out several of them earlier here. Charlie Kirk. Also, Turning Point USA also has a full write-up on this guy as well. Just days after the attempted murder of Donald Trump, Walz called Trump and his supporters fascists, egging on the same rhetoric that led to Trump being shot in the first place. And then this is an important one. Walz has overseen some of the most radical youth transgender surgery laws in the country. Under his leadership, teenagers can get their breasts chopped off and get sterilized. And then the Walz government calls it health care. But John Jackson, yeah, the point that I made before the break there is that Scott Hagan pointed this out via X earlier this morning. I've already been hearing from some of our listeners in Bozeman in particular that are saying, yeah, we lived in Minnesota. We lived in Minneapolis in particular, and we had to get the heck out of there because they have absolutely destroyed that city. And it wasn't just their COVID lockdowns and their COVID mandates with the, I mean, this Walz guy was one of the lockdown governors. To me, like, why would you pick a lockdown governor, period? Everybody knows that that was a failed approach to COVID-19.
I remember it was right after I retired a few years ago. Big snowstorm hits the entire northern half of the country. And I'm on my way for Christmas in North Carolina. And I'm retired, so I can't carry my gun on the airplanes anymore. Well, me and my young daughter, she's really young at the time, we get stuck in Minneapolis. And here I am, it's 20 below zero, it's midnight, and here I am stuck in Mogadishu without a weapon, right? And with a small child with me. I remember having to take her everywhere with me by the hand and watch her like a hawk and just be situationally aware everywhere you looked in that place, because you knew. And that was years ago. That's, you know, that's like six years ago. That's not even current day.
Lightbrows in Hardin sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. I now understand what my father used to say. What the hell has happened to my country? To my country? That was back in the 70s. I am asking the same question now. By the way, Lightbrows in Hardin is an incredible Green Beret veteran. He was in Mogadishu when all this stuff was going on as well. Let's see. Michael in Bozeman. Kamalama ding dong and the last Walz. Great. Just great. Dan from Vida, listening to KVCK. Dan from Vida says this. I don't believe integrity exists in Tim Walz. John, you actually told me about this story earlier. In 1995, apparently, Tim Walz was arrested for a DUI. Going 100 in a 65. No, that's a song. 96 in a 55. BAC. But here's the point. Dan from Vita says he tried to act like he was deaf to get out of the DUI. Dan from Vita says, Google it. Easy to find. Google's probably going to start burying that one. They'll be like, oh, I can't hear you. I don't know what you're saying. You know, see, that's what Google's going to pretend to be deaf now when it comes to the Tim Walz DUI story.
Well, you'll see now, too. A story comes out the other day that now the FBI will resume their regular meetings with the social media companies. And as this thing runs forward, of course, that our mainstream media will black out and not report any of the real truth on Kamala or Walz. But then on social media, you're going to see those companies start blocking, throttling, stopping any of these stories from getting wide circulation.
Exactly. All right, let's get back into your phone calls here. 406-294-0970. Connor in Bozeman, thanks for the call.
Hey, I was just listening to you guys talk about how, you know, Tim Walz let the riots and everything happen in Minneapolis back then, and it just made me think more of something else that I 100% believe was allowed to happen a few weekends ago when they tried to kill Trump. Technology scares me. I've never been a big fan of it. I didn't even get my first smartphone until about 4 or 5 years ago, just because I don't like the way it dominates our lives. But there are good things that can be done with technology, and if I could have one wish granted other than just to somehow save our country, I would love to see Republicans come into power, the Senate, get the House, and have no excuses once again. They'll probably still do nothing, but what I would like to see, my one wish, I would like to see geo-tracking or geo-fencing, whatever they have, the technologies they have to track everybody's phones, and everybody's technology that they use, whether it's their laptops or their cell phones, when they watch videos and they watch things live through streaming. I would like to see every single registered Democrat government official and their evidence of what they were watching when Trump was attempted to be killed that Sunday afternoon. And I guarantee you that you will find that 90 to 95% of the Democrats happened to be watching that event that day. Definitely, we're not watching any of Trump's prior rallies because they freaking knew.
Well, look, there's so many mistakes, so many errors that eventually, of course, people are going to question, how do you have this many mistakes, this many obvious glaring answers? Connor, thanks for the call. John, something else that Connor said there that I found very interesting is, look at what Governor Walz allowed to happen in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, allowing that city to be burned to the ground, black-owned businesses burned to the ground. I'll never forget, Nancy in Roundup back then, she wrote a letter to the editor to the newspaper in Musselshell County, and she called into the show and made a similar point. She says, I'm starting to hear this word allow a little too much. This is America. You know, why are we being told that we're allowed to go to the restaurant, or allowed to go to the bar, or allowed to go to our kids' football game? Like, I'm starting to hear that word. Isn't it interesting what they allowed to happen at the very same time they were not allowing us to do things like watch your kids play sports?
Oh, yeah, and that's exactly what COVID ushered into the national consciousness, the national culture, and into the Democrats' mindset, is they're going to mandate you into doing anything they want. Close your society, close your schools, close your churches, make you get a jab that you don't want. They're just going to mandate it. And in case anybody forgot, that's what we went to war over with the British, because we were going to have a country that was made up of the rule of law, not the rule of men, where people mandated you like a king and told you what to do. Oh, heck no. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing it anymore. And Nancy's absolutely right. Who the hell are you to even say that to us?
Well, we'll allow you to do this. We'll allow you to do that. Yeah. No, it was such a great point back then. And I think she triggered some California leftist in Roundup back then with that editorial as well, too. So there was a funny follow-up to it at the time. Frank in Evergreen next up on the phone lines. What's going on, Frank?
Hi, Aaron. Yeah, the governor Walz, he's got the kind of a advantage over everybody because he's from the state where the Minnesota Multi-Personality Inventory Profile Test originated about 80 years ago, back in the 40s. And ever since then, social norms keep changing. Our personalities keep changing according to psychologists. And what is weird anymore? I mean, anybody that thinks out of the box, anyone who questions authority, the only sane people would have to be an extremely rhino, middle-of-the-road, wacko, communist. You know, I mean, it's the way it is anymore.
So the multiple personality testing started in Minnesota back in the day. That's interesting. I wasn't aware of that. Frank, thanks for the call. Again, another word stood out, just like that word allow stood out from Connor in Bozeman. That word weird stood out because, of course, you know, CNN and MSNBC in the first 24 hours after J.D. Vance was named as Donald Trump's running mate, they started trying to call him weird. And it's like, wait a minute, he's weird because he supports families and raising kids, but you guys want to chop body parts off of kids, and that's not weird? Anyway, but the other reason that word weird just caught my attention, the Trump war room on X about 1 hour ago, they said, weird. Walz signs bill requiring schools to stock period products in boys' bathrooms. So he's all in on the men going into the girls' bathroom and vice versa.
Well, the comparison we've used on our spaces and our podcast to these Democrats that these leftists that run the Democrat Party now, they're like 5 year olds burning ants with their microscope there. They're just evil juvenile little sociopaths, and that's where they come up with this weird thing. Because I learned that from my daughter. That's how, if you want to, like, say, tar somebody with a reputation, with a little name in school that you don't like, you just call them weird, and that makes everybody think, oh, maybe I don't want to be around them. It's completely right out of Mean Girl High School.
The multiple personality angle was interesting too, because look, if you're Kamala Harris, you can be on camera saying that you want to ban fracking, and in California they have banned fracking, but then the fake news media will let you get away with saying, oh no, I don't want to ban fracking. So you can have that multiple personality. You can be Tim Walz, say one thing, do another. You can be liberal Senator John Tester, the flip-flop flat top, say one thing, do another. And you will never be held accountable for it. You are allowed to have multiple personalities. Say one thing in Montana, say another thing in Washington, D.C. Say one thing in Montana, vote another way back there. They are allowed to have these multiple personalities. All right, back to your phone calls right after this.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
The National FFA organization has reached a record-breaking milestone of more than 1 million members. The current membership sits at 1,027,273. That's up 8.6% from last year. The largest membership percentage growth was seen in Utah, Florida, and Alaska. The organization believes in the future of its members and is also seeing a lot of opportunities in the years ahead. Utah saw a 172% growth in membership. Florida jumped 116%, while Alaska's membership grew by 74%. And membership remains strong here in the Big Sky state of Montana. And yep, I'm one of those has-been FFA members that was so proud to wear the blue corduroy jacket. In other news, the Congressional Budget Office released an official cost estimate of the House Ag Committee's farm bill and said it's $33 billion over budget and fails to pay for a large increase in crop payments. House Chairman G.T. Thompson says if the COB doesn't change its mind, he'll rely instead on the House Budget Committee to overrule the CBO. The CBO cost estimate released Friday creates a large obstacle to passing a farm bill that Congress is already 10 months late in passing. Currently, USDA is operating on a one-year extension of the 2018 Farm Bill. I'm Lane Northlund.
Town and Country has been your local.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I just got a buddy in the Billings area who grew up in Minnesota and deployed overseas with Minnesota, don't you know? It checks out, John. John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, with us here. He said, Google rocks and cows and Tim Walz. So I did hear. Here is the video. Tim Walz attacks rural Minnesota as, quote, mostly rocks and cows. Anyway, so yeah, there you go. Very easy to find. Now, Google's probably going to wipe that off of the face of the digital planet here in just a few minutes, but you can find it right now anyway, at least.
If he thinks that of his own state, of his the rural sections of his own state, what do you suppose he thinks of us here in Montana, Aaron?
Man, what a very good point, because we got more rocks and more cows.
You betcha.
Then, so my friends in eastern Montana, yeah, we got more rocks. Got more rocks in Minnesota. All right, let's go to Ken in Billings on the phone lines. Ken, what's going on?
Well, I'm just going to reiterate on one of your past people that was mentioning something. You know, I don't believe in my whole heart and soul that people got to be so stupid, which you can't fix anyway. But the thing is, let them stand in their house and let them look around at what they have right now. And then think in their minds exactly what the communists do to people in other countries. You don't own a house. You don't own a car. They tell you when to eat, sleep, and poop. You have no medical. And these people are still putting this laughing hyena. They think that she's the queen of the world or something, but she doesn't even have a brain that would, I mean, if you poured it through the eye of a needle, it wouldn't even touch the sides.
Yeah, I wonder, how do people react when they hear Kamala cackle about the economy and about Bidenomics? If you've just looked at your 401k, if you've seen the global financial markets in turmoil over the last 48 hours, how do you respond when you hear Kamala, you know, do things like this?
All that, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else, that is called Bidenomics. That is called Bidenomics, and we are very proud of Bidenomics.
It's working, she says. But apparently people are not buying it here. NBC News had this poll that they just released, apparently.
Still, in a new poll, just 25% of registered voters said they'd be better off financially under a President Harris, while nearly half said they'd be better off under a second Trump term.
So 25% are still saying that they would be better off financially under a Kamala Harris presidency. Wow. That must be the Hollywood folks or the people that are getting paid off to run these illegal alien NGOs. But that's also interesting, too, isn't it, John, that, okay, so 25% of these people are saying that they feel they will be better off financially if Kamala is elected. So what that tells me is there's about 20% that are still supporting Kamala, even though they know it's not going to help them economically. They're still willing to watch it all burn down.
That really goes back to kind of what you and I talked about in the previous segment about COVID. And I said that before. If you've gone through these last 4 years of chaos and war and illegal streaming across the border and crime, and you still think you need to vote for these people, I can't help you. Just like if you're going to come back and vote for people like Tim Walz, who locked you down and shut your society during COVID, if you would go back and vote for those people, I just have nothing to say to you at all. You're just really too stupid to breathe, much less vote.
Yeah, it's crazy that people will still, it's like, you know, the Joker in that one more newer Batman movie. Was it Heath Ledger who played the Joker in that one? Some people just want to watch the world burn down. It's kind of at that point. Like, do some of you just literally want to watch it all burn down? I mean, with what's going on in the financial markets right now, with what's going on in the Middle East. I mean, they opened up the floodgates for cash to Tehran. And then now we just had Iran, you know, injure several Americans at Al Asad Air Base. Seriously, what is it going to take for some folks out there? Let's go to Kelly in Big Fork next up. Kelly, thanks for the call.
Hi. Yeah, there was a documentary that came out. I think it was around 2012. It was when Kamala was running the first time, I guess. There was an investigative journalist going around California following the Planned Parenthood selling of baby parts, and Kamala sticks the FBI on him to shut him down, and they took his computers and his phones and his cameras, and it was basically all about her shakedown of this investigation. These people are totally sinister.
So,
but I don't hear anyone talking about that.
Say that again, the key part there.
Oh, these people are just sinister. That Kamala sent the FBI out on this journalist that was investigating the trafficking of baby body parts from Planned Parenthood.
That was when she was in California. Yeah, I saw something about that. I can't remember if it was at the Daily Wire or where I saw that story. But I mean,
yeah, there was a whole documentary on it.
When it comes to these radical left-wing Soros-backed prosecutors, I mean, she's the OG. She was the original, right?
Yeah, I don't know, but she had the power to send the FBI on hit squads, anybody who was getting involved with trying to correct their evil, satanic ways.
Yeah.
And what's sad is this group is just so small. I mean, it's a small, elite group of people that do very bad things to children. And so, I mean, they come off as being stupid, but really they're so corrupt and sinister.
So that kind of reminds me too. Again, and thanks for the call, Kelly. Appreciate it. That reminds me. So Jeremy Carl sent out a tweet earlier this morning. He's a senior fellow at the Claremont Institute, and he lives in Bozeman. But he says, "I welcome having a conversation about whether having decades of walls-style governance has made Minneapolis, St. Paul, a better place than it was 5 decades ago." Has diversity been Minnesota's strength? Jeremy Carl asks. And so that was what inspired me to ask this question. Is Minneapolis better off now than they were 4 years ago? Is America better off now than they were 4 years ago? But as Kelly reminds us, think about it. Kamala Harris was the crazy Soros-backed style DA in San Francisco. And then she was the senator from California. Is California better off now than it was before Kamala Harris took power? No, 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 across the board.
And today, with, see, say 20, 30 years ago, you would have had still portions of the mainstream media that would have been asking those same questions you're asking, Aaron, and pointing it out all over the place, holding her accountable for her record, holding the Biden team accountable for their record for the last 4 years. See, today, that is not only is that not going to happen, they take it to the other side, and they are going to be flogging this for the next 90 days about how great and wonderful and cool she is, and how Walls is just a good Midwestern guy, just a good old boy, middle of the road type of guy. They're going to lie their butts off for the next 90 days. So really, most of the people out here that are not politically in tune are not going to know any of it.
All right, let's go to Nathan next up on the phone lines. Nathan, thanks for the call.
Good morning, boys. Well, thank you very much for bringing the light of Montana here to the bowels of deepest, darkest New York.
Calling in from New York. Wow, crazy.
Yeah, I love you guys. Hey, John, how are you?
Morning.
I got a New York update for you here from New York. So Nassau County, which is right outside New York, passed a law last night banning masks. Masks are now illegal in that county, and wasn't sure how to feel about it until I saw the video of the people freaking out over it, the suspects you would expect. And basically it's an anti-Antifa thing, so Antifa Tim would not be happy with this. But it pisses off the right people. So that's a good thing. And then I had one other one. Have you seen the story about our New York Central Park bear?
Is that the Robert F. Kennedy story?
Yes. It's a Kennedy trying to get ahead of the story of a dead body in a car. But yeah, pretty entertaining. He picked up a bear as a roadkill, put it in his car, and kind of had to go to dinner, and then he realized he had to take a flight and didn't want the bear in the car all weekend, so he dropped it in Central Park and made it look like it had been run over by a bicycle. So I thought, if nothing else, that was very good. I thought we could call her Barry Joe Kopechne.
Oh, man. You know what's crazy about that whole story, too, is that they will be more mad at Robert F. Kennedy for having a dead bear in his backseat than they will for Ted Kennedy having a dead girl in his car. I mean, you know, it's kind of sad, really, when you think about it.
Exactly.
All right, Nathan, thanks thanks for the call. Yeah, the people that tried to force you to wear masks are now banning masks. That's interesting.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. That story about the bear. Some of you are like, what? What is this story about RFK and the dead bear? Eric Shawn with Fox News calls it a stunning and bizarre confession from a presidential candidate. Here you go.
Teddy bears were named for President Teddy Roosevelt. Now another presidential candidate has come clean with his own bear story. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said it was he who dumped a dead young bear cub in Central Park in 2014.
It was on every television station. It was the front page of every paper. And I turned on the TV, and there was like a mile of yellow tape, and there were 20 cop cars. There were helicopters flying over it. And I was like, oh, my God, what did I do?
Kennedy confessed to Roseanne Barr, saying he went public because The New Yorker was about to publish the story. In the magazine, it does show a photo of Kennedy playfully putting his hand in the dead bear's mouth. In New York, Eric Shawn, Fox News.
What was that last part all about? He did what?
He let somebody take a picture of him and took this roadkill bear off the road, put it in his car, and then forgot about it, and then decided he was going to dump it in Central Park. I mean, this is right out of Chappaquiddick, really.
He could have chopped the head off and the paws off and thrown it in the Hudson River, just like they did with that grizz near Yellowstone, right? You know,
but perform the ISIS ritual on it right then and there. It was like, gee, what?
Inside joke, folks. I'm not advocating that they do that to all the grizzly bears out there. Let's see. Next up on the phone lines here. Perry the poet in Columbus. Perry, what's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. You guys crack me up. You know, I think we ought to send them some live wolves in Central Park. That's what we ought to do.
We've been saying that for decades, haven't we? Yeah.
So cackling Tommy Law has chosen the Minnesota mushbrain, Tim Walz, to be your vice sock puppet in chief. You know, it sounds like the perfect choice if the plan is to hide in Joe Biden's basement while they're anarchists, pillage and burn the rest of America's cities like they were allowed to do in Minneapolis. I'll bet they would even set up a bail-em-out fund funded with your tax dollars. After all, it's not socialism, it's just being neighborly. The idea that this type of cultural cancer has managed to set up shop in Montana cities like Missoula, Los Angeles, Helena, and even Billings makes me sick to my stomach. It's hard to imagine any sane thinking person anywhere that wouldn't understand that the radical American left right now is trying to fundamentally change, remember that expression, our constitutional republic into a totalitarian kleptocracy. And it's time for all of us to stand up, speak up, dig in our heels, and stop this commie law craziness.
And that's why we call him Perry the Poet right there. Perry, great to hear from you. John, you and I had our mics killed. It'll probably still show up in the podcast later, but we were just rolling. I literally about fell to the carpet floor here of the studios when he said Minnesota Mushbrain and Commie La Harris.
It's amazing. I think your new system that you've set up here does, even when you have the mics off, catches us somewhere.
Sometimes.
You can hear it pretty well.
Yeah, I think it's like when I have a caller on, like, then our mics are in queue, so then they hear us and we hear them. And so, so anyway. So it makes for, like, if you're stuck on hold, sometimes you get to enjoy the off-air conversation during the breaks as well. You think we're having fun now, you wait till we go off-air. Get a cigar in my hands, and we'll really have some fun here. Okay, what was he referring to about neighborly socialism? Here's Tim Walz in his own words.
But we can get out there, reach out, make the case. And for one thing, don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness. But
he is a hardcore radical leftist. He also is on camera supporting sanctuary cities and much more. Michael in the Gallatin Valley. Let's see. Michael, what's on your mind?
Just a quick update. My daughter is still in the Minneapolis area, one of the suburban hospitals. She said she had a great shift because they only had to call the cops twice in the emergency room. I mean, when you go to a hospital and you still have got cops coming in there, that tells you the whole venue of Minneapolis area.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Just crazy. And another answer to the question of is Minneapolis better off now than it was 4 years ago? Thanks for the call. Let's go to Clyde in Billings. Clyde, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to comment on the advertisements that John Tester has about Tim Sheehy buying 37,000 acres of ground in Montana and two multimillion-dollar homes. But Tim Sheehy's paying property taxes in Montana. John Tester buys a $1 million house in Washington, D.C., so he's paying property taxes in Washington, D.C. I'd say Tim Sheehy's more of a Montanan than John Tester.
And Tim Sheehy made his money the honest way, and I'm glad he's successful. As a fellow veteran, I love it when our veterans succeed. And then that hypocrite John Tester, he loved it when Justin Timberlake bought a big pad in Big Sky. But if an Iraq-Afghanistan veteran's able to afford a place in Big Sky, Tester's pissed about that, right?
Yep, exactly. So I'm for Tim Sheehy.
All right. Well, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. John Jackson, you're not a big crowd guy, so you won't be at the Trump rally. You'll be watching it, though, right?
I will be watching.
All right. Well, we'll be watching out for you because I'll be there. I'll brave the crowds. I'm not big on the crowds either, but I can't miss this one. All right. John, thanks for being with us. Great to have you, as always. Check him out on Twitter, x.com/PrivateJokerUS.